This is Business Update from the BBC, the main headlines. The Iraqi army says it has taken over military bases in oil-rich Kirkuk. Political uncertainty in Kenya costs the country millions of dollars. And the UN warns Uganda could sink further into food crisis. I'm Vivian Nunes at the BBC's Business Unit in London. The Iraqi army says it has taken over Kirkuk Airport and military base during a major operation to seize control of the city from Kurdish forces. There has been artillery and gunfire in some areas as pro-government troops have moved in to secure key roads and oil and gas installations. The BBC's Orla Geeran reports.
As we filmed at the main checkpoint at the southern edge of Kirkuk, there was a sudden burst of automatic gunfire. It seemed to come from a location where Shia militia units allied to the Iraqi government are in position. Iraqi forces appear to be in control around the outskirts, and we can now hear the sound of fighting close by. It's unclear how much resistance has been offered by the Peshmerga, or if the Iraqi military will try to enter Kirkuk. But former allies in the fight against IS are now facing each other across the battlefield, just what the international community was desperate to avoid.
A group representing Kenyan employers say that the country's political standoff has cost the economy 15 billion shillings, or 145 million US dollars. The BBC's Michael Koloki reports from Nairobi.
The Federation of Kenya Employers has asked the candidates of the presidential polls slated for later this month to use dialogue to find a solution to the ongoing impasse, which has seen the main opposition candidate withdraw from the race and daily mass protests over electoral reforms. Their claims about the huge economic cost of the political stalemate comes in the wake of recent data showing that there has been a sharp decline in new orders in the Kenyan manufacturing sector and a drop in cement production since the general election in August. The country's business sector has also been alarmed by newly released government data, which shows a significant drop in investment in the country's real estate sector.
The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization reports that about 50 countries are faced with hunger, but unlike many that are improving, Uganda could sink further into a crisis. Radio 1 Uganda business editor Nabit Rugadie reports.
The FAO country representative Alhaji Jalo says the refugee situation in Uganda means that government efforts towards increasing output are being overwhelmed by the crisis. Over 1.2 million refugees have fled conflict in South Sudan, Democratic Republic of Congo and Burundi, while famine in Kenya has displaced at least 60,000 into Uganda. The FAO says that 10% of the Ugandan population, or 3.5 million people, are food-stressed. Mr. Jalo says the FAO will help the Ugandan government in tackling immigration issues and will also assist with appeals for investment in rural development programs.
Nabit Rugadie reporting in Kampala. Let's take a look at the financial markets now, where Brent crude oil is up 87 cents at $58.04 per barrel. The London Morning Gold Fix was $1,305 an ounce. London's 100 share index is currently down 0.1% at 75.31.
This is the business update from the BBC World Service.
Remittances, the transfer of money back home, are a lifeline for many developing economies. So says a recent World Bank study. It says they're crucial to the economies of India, China, Mexico, the Philippines and Nigeria, among others. But the bank also says sending money home is an expensive business. Fees are too high and the bank wants urgent action to cut those costs. In Liberia, nearly a third of the country's GDP is made up of remittances, more than any other country on the continent. The BBC's Tamsin Ford sent this report from Monrovia, the capital.
37-year-old David Terrain sits on his front porch. He doesn't work. In fact, no one in the house does.
Majority of the household budget, I would give it maybe about 95% of the household budget comes from money transfer, whether it be Western Union or MoneyGram.
David lives in Seoul Clinic, a suburb of Monrovia, with his sister-in-law, two of his brothers and a nephew. He has eight children who live in America with their mums. He gets sent between $400 and $5,000 every month, depending on what he needs.
The main people that are sending the money are mainly my mother, my father, my sisters, my brother.
And David's situation is not unusual.
So a lot of my friends have people that are in the States. that they depend on for that financial support. And majority of their income depends on that support from overseas.
I'm on Broad Street, the financial district of Monrovia. The central bank is just around the corner, and I'm with a money changer who has a wad of US dollars in his hands. The notes are really very grubby. Some of them are so old and dirty, in fact, they wouldn't be accepted in the States. But it's what everyone wants to get their hands on here. Remittances make up a third of Liberia's GDP, and the bulk of that money comes from America. At the Global Bank in Sincor, not far from the financial district, people cram themselves inside the banking hall. Juba Dunbar, the head of marketing, says most are here collecting money transfers.
In terms of remittances, we always have these kind of numbers of people that we see here in the banking hall. They are always here.
And is this the same situation across other banks across the country?
I tell you, all of the banking halls are crowded up with customers.
Liberia went through 14 years of civil war. Every facet of society, from infrastructure to education to health, was destroyed. Just as the country was rebuilding itself, it got hit again, this time with Ebola. But it's the economic effects that are still being felt. 0% growth since 2014, kids being pulled out of school, lower incomes, and crucially, a 40% decrease in people working, according to the World Bank. So remittances have become a lifesaver.
We think something that is accounting for a third of your country's GDP is key.
Boima Kamara is Liberia's finance minister.
For us policymakers, the question is, how then do you redirect them in a way that you can get greater benefits? So remittance inflows is like a cushion to the balance of payments of our country. How can remittance play a more deeper role in economic development?
Back at David's house on the other side of the city, his friend's kids play in the yard. I ask him how he'd live without all of this money sent from America.
Most of my friends that I have, their only survival is relying basically on the money transfers. If they don't have that overseas support and they can't find means to get a job here, what do the results to them? You start stealing, armed robbing, entering people's houses, home invasions, and things like that. So it's helping them a lot.
Remittances to developing countries like Liberia are set to grow, this year by almost 5%. As fintech services like mobile money expand across Africa, it's only going to get easier and cheaper.
Tamazin Ford reporting in Liberia. The Wi-Fi connections of businesses and homes around the world are at risk, according to researchers who have revealed a major flaw dubbed crack. It concerns an authentication system which is widely used to secure wireless connections. Experts said it could leave the majority of connections at risk until they are patched. The researchers added the attack method was exceptionally devastating for Android 6.0. Let's check on more numbers from the financial markets now. On the currency markets, the euro is at $1.18.1 US cents. The pound is at $1.33. The dollar is trading at 555.3 CFA francs, 13.31 South African rand. The dollar is also trading at 103.3 Kenyan shillings, 315.3 Nigerian naira, and 3,643 Ugandan shillings. Don't forget the 15:30 BST edition of World Business Report is always available on our website. Plus, there's a downloadable MP3 file or podcast. Just search online for BBC World Business Report. Thanks for listening.